In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As we enter the third week of Advent, all three readings today are about the coming of the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah announces that he will come. The evangelist Matthew tells us that he has come. The apostle James tells us that he will come again. Isaiah's prophecy is bursting at the seams with joy. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. So today is also known as Gaudete Sunday. We rejoice together in the coming of our Saviour as we too live out our parallel activities at home and church in being prepared and, like John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord. Alongside the fun of the season, we are encouraged to take stock of our beliefs, our expectations, and even our comfort zones of living. Our collect begins with the words, "Stir up thy power, O Lord." We hear the more urgent message of John the Baptist, whose ultimate raison d'etre was to stir people up along the way. His whole life was hallmarked by a vocal urgency to share the good news, to repent, be baptized, and to stand firm in one's faith, especially in times of adversity. John was the first to proclaim God's kingdom, but he proclaimed it not in the temple, rather in the desert, the place where the faith of so many before had been tested, and a place Moses and the Hebrew tribes had encountered God. The prophets of old used the image of the desert as a metaphor for estrangement from God, a frightening, lonely, and dangerous place. Yet it was to that kind of place that John called the people for renewal. In today's gospel, we heard that John was estranged. He was in prison. And perhaps in that solitude of the prison, he experienced a wilderness of his own. In his book, The Way of the Heart, the late spiritual giant Henri Nouwen invites us to search for the wellsprings that nourish true ministry by interweaving the solitude, silence, and prayer of the 5th century Egyptian desert fathers and mothers with a contemporary search for an authentic spirituality that leads us to a fuller encounter with God. Or as Charles Royden puts it, perhaps the desert is where God still wants to meet us, for the desert is a place where we are stripped of distractions and become more ready to listen. Perhaps this is John's experience as he waits in jail, in the darkness, the damp, the heat, the extremes of discomfort. There he encountered the dark night of the soul. There he questioned even his relationship with Jesus, his own cousin, and the one he had prepared the way for. In the prison, perhaps he began to doubt, or at least wonder, did I get it right? What we heard of Jesus while he was in prison, now confused him, did not conform to the message of repentance and the wrath to come that lay at the heart of the prophecy he'd been sent to proclaim. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Jesus' response is plain. It's clear. "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Even in this wilderness experience of prison, John was reminded through these words that all those signs were foretold in the prophecy of Isaiah, signs of the year of Jubilee, signs of hope, and signs of the inauguration of the kingdom of God breaking in. Perhaps this too reminds us that how often a time of testing or suffering can lead to something transformative. Whilst not wanting to lessen the reality of pain or suffering or darkness, but to recognize that such wilderness experiences in our lives too can bring hope. I remember once hearing Sir Terry Waite speaking about his story of captivity. He was the assistant for Anglican Communion Affairs for the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Robert Runcie, in the 1980s. As an envoy for the Church of England, he travelled to Lebanon to try to secure the release of four hostages. The tables were turned when he himself became a hostage in 1987 for 4 years. And during the first year of his solitary confinement in Beirut, he was given nothing to read. But ironically, hope entered his life through the small gestures of kindness from the guards. Hope got me through, he recalls. Did he question faith? Absolutely. But in the midst of suffering, he modeled great patience, and his wilderness experience transformed him. The type of patience we heard of in today's epistle reading. Most of you will know what is known as the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Patience means finding contentment in accepting that God's time is not our time, that our life is in his hands, and that living in hope may come hand in hand with our own wilderness or desert experience. In the prison cell, John's faith in Jesus was stirred up. Did he doubt? Yes. Did he question his faith? Absolutely. Wrestling with faith and not simply reciting it as a formula was to be his greatest test and further hallmark of his life. The Word became flesh. It was the Word, not mere words, that mattered. John the Baptist models for us how to encounter Jesus in a new way, even in the darkness. And we are reminded that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of hope, being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, far more than we have yet imagined or hoped for. Amen.